This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Before George Floyd and before there were nationwide protests across the country against police brutality and racism, there was Terrence Crutcher. In 2016, 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher was killed by a Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer on a roadway. Like many of those left behind by police killings, his twin sister, Dr. Tiffany Crutcher's life changed forever. This week, the world's eyes have shifted back to Tulsa, years after the spotlight left following Terrence Crutcher's murder. But for Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, the problems and the fight for justice, not just for her brother, but for thousands of others, continues. And we humbly and gratefully welcome you to our airwaves, Dr. Crutcher.
Hi, thank you so much, Mimi, for having me.
Now, let's just start with that. Indeed, this must be a really prescient and a very difficult time to be in the midst of Tulsa's black residents grappling with the city's pandemic, with the racist history and the police brutality ahead of Trump's rally. Talk to us about your still quest for justice for your twin brother and what it means within the context of what Tulsa finds itself, shall we say, in the eye of the storm and in proximity to Juneteenth as well.
Absolutely, absolutely, Mimi. I'll just say this. Where we are right now in this very moment, it's just the continuation of what I've been fighting for the last almost 4 years since Terrence was killed by Officer Betty Jo Shelby. After her acquittal, I made a promise to my community, to my family, to the world that I wouldn't rest until I transformed Tulsa's police department. And I've stayed true to that promise. And we've been at City Hall week after week after week, you know, making demands, you know, asking for oversight of our police department so we can get some level of accountability, you know, demanding that they end, you know, racist policing practices. And we've been ignored. We've been ignored. And so I took my fight to the state capitol and to the nation's capitol to try to figure out how we could change the laws that allow police officers the authority to commit legal murder. And I realized, Mimi, that, you know, after Terrence was killed, and I reflect on a lot of the killings like Mike Brown and Freddie Gray and the protests and the march, you know, I realized that, yes, we need to express, we need to cry out for justice, for freedom, but I also realized that change requires changing. And the only way we were going to get some level of accountability was for me to really take a good hard look at changing policy. And so I started to focus my time and attention and surround myself with experts in the area of police reform, like the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the Human Rights Watch, the Leadership Conference, National Action Network. And I started to build coalitions of people who cared about this issue. And we started to research what it would look like to transform policing in this nation. And I feel like we've made some ground, but we have so much more work to do. And so it's definitely been a challenge. It's been a struggle. We've faced so much opposition from the Fraternal Order of Police and from policing or pro-police people as a whole. And what they don't understand mm-hmm. is that they swore to an oath. An oath to serve and protect, to do no harm, to not act in fear or malice. But yet, Mimi, we keep seeing video after video of unarmed black people in this country being slaughtered in the streets simply because of the color of their skin. I'm afraid. I'm just going to be honest. I'm afraid for my nephew to go outside and ride his bike. I'm afraid for my dad to go to the grocery store
And we don't have that same luxury of saying, hey, see you later, you know, if we were white. See you when you get home. We have to make sure we text and call. You know, I have friends right now who have little boys who are afraid to get their driver's license. You know, little kids, they start screaming when they see the police. They start hiding. And that's an issue that needs to be addressed. And so this is just, the continuation of what we've been fighting for. And really, you can't really talk about what's happening right now without, in Tulsa, without even reflecting back on the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. I always share, Mimi, that the same policing culture, an anti-black, racist, white supremacist culture that burned down my great-grandmother's community is the same culture that killed Terrence Crutcher and so many more in this city and in this nation. This is what we're dealing with right now in America. And to have the president of the United States come to Tulsa, to a state that's already red, he won every single county. What is your motive? What's your purpose? You don't need to campaign here. You don't need to campaign here. And so we have an issue in this country and a lack of leadership, to be quite honest.
Dr. Crutcher, what you're raising now, it's clearly been a fight. It's been a fight that's been waged in Tulsa, among other cities, for which is a deeply segregated city for, as you're pointing out, really for more than 100 years, going back to certainly the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, one of the worst racially motivated massacres on American soil in the last century. And then again, we are in proximity to, or really dealing with this on the day of Juneteenth. Place the situation within the death of your brother and the struggle that does continue within that kind of compendium. Is this a struggle about white supremacy that has existed and has a straight line from slavery going forward?
Absolutely. You have to look at that term anti-black racism. It's definitely a continuation. You know, slavery didn't end in 1865. It only evolved. And when you look at every era of oppression that black people have faced, you know, let's go back to slavery, you know, and then transition into the Jim Crow era and then into the separate but equal era and the civil rights movement and then now mass incarceration and police brutality. It's all about that system that was put in place that was never designed to be equal or protect black people. You know, we're talking about a constitution that was written when blacks were considered, you know, not even a whole human being. When did we change that? When was that eradicated or amended? And so, you know, when you talk about now and the segregation in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I can't help but think about those railroad tracks that divided the white side of town, which was the south side, from the black side of town, which is our north side, and those mobs of white rioters who crossed over those tracks and burned down my great-grandmother's community, 40 square blocks. It's just not one street. They stole all of their jewels and their clothes and their silk curtains and their cars, and they burned everything to the ground. Innocent people shot with their hands in the air, unarmed. No one went to render aid at all. They were threatened. If you help them, you're going to get shot too. And I can't help but think of the or draw parallels to what happened to Terrence. Hands in the air, shot. No one rendered aid. Helicopters looming. Oh, he looks like a bad dude. Nothing has changed. No atonement or reparations for the massacre. No atonement or reparations for my family. And so these systems that are in place were never designed to protect us. And those railroad tracks at Archer and Greenwood that divide the city, they still symbolize the same thing today, that racial divide.
that's daunting. What is going on in the streets, which is now being protested by millions, and perhaps this is a watershed moment to really eke out some substantive change, to weed out, root and branch the racism that defines the institutions and the behavior of too many people within this society. But what do you see doing? You have a foundation that is there to still try to have a quest for justice for your brother. And then there is the descendant that you are of those people who were killed in the Tulsa race riot of 1921. So what do you see? What needs to happen to do more than kind of tool around the edges or just give lip service to the catastrophe, to the astronomical wealth and social potential and actual lives that were taken from the people of African ancestry of Tulsa?
Well, it's simple, Mimi. We want reparations, and we want reparations yesterday. It's simple. We want justice for my twin brother, and we want justice now. I mean, it's simple. We need the powers that be to stop doing what's politically expedient and just do what's morally just. You know, a lot of times people talk about Christianity and their religion and their faith and how pro-life they are. But you have children in Tulsa who live in a food desert. You have children who are stripped of their father, daughters who will never get to go to the daddy-daughter dance. You have, you know, a dad who will never get to watch football with his son anymore. You have education systems that only work for you if you live in a certain zip code. We have black children whose life expectancy is 10 years less if you live in a certain zip code versus if you live on the white side of town. What do we want? We just want to level the playing field. We're not asking for too much. Can we get a quality grocery store? Can we get some resources for our children? Can we get government contracts? You know, we're tired of our votes being taken for granted. We need a black agenda. And we need to get back to a place where we can start getting to a point where we have generational wealth. We were robbed of our generational wealth here in Tulsa. I think about J.B. Stratford, who had one of the nicest hotels in the nation on Black Wall Street, burned to the ground. Just think what he could have become. He could have been Marriott. He could have been the Hyatt. He could have been the Hilton. But they robbed us of our dreams and aspirations, and we have yet to get back to that place of self-sufficiency, of black excellence. And we're excellent, don't get me wrong, but we have yet to get back to that place when one of the most prominent and wealthiest communities known to man was thriving.
You've been given some of the story of Tulsa's black residents, of the people of Greenwood, which was a community that boasted doctors and lawyers and musicians and businessmen, and you've referenced the Stratford Hotel, the largest black-owned hotel in the country at that time, and the robbed wealth that was the reality of Greenwood. You've mentioned reparations. You've mentioned, in a way, reparative justice relevant to your brother as the police officer that took his life, got off scot-free. There has been no justice. So how are you pursuing it? How do you see shaping the demands so that the upheaval that we do see now becomes more than a moment, but truly becomes a movement? Where should we go collectively as people of goodwill who support our sisters and brothers of African ancestry who are fighting for the real promise of democracy, for equal rights.
Absolutely. Well, we have to get on the same page. I believe that when we speak the same language and when we march to the same tune, we can do a lot. We're always stronger together. There's an old African proverb that says, when spider webs come together, they can tie up a lion. And so we have to start there first. I believe that building is really, really necessary. It's vital. And that's been one of my strengths. But there's people out there on the front line doing it. And our ancestors left us a blueprint. So we have H.R. 40, you know, where we've made the case for reparations. We have to demand better from our elected officials. We're making the case for reparations for Tulsa. We have a petition that we're going to be rolling out, and we want for people all over the nation to sign this petition. We're going to see if we can get that statute of limitations waived so we can open back up this space. We no longer want or need symbolic gestures of nothing. Symbolism is going to get us nowhere. Yeah, the memorials are fine. Yeah, donating money, we need it to keep the fight alive. But what we want policies change. We want reparations yesterday. And that's when we can really start talking about healing and reconciliation in this country. We don't need any more kumbaya moments. You know, this whole notion of respectability politics, hoping and wishing and praying that master is going to do right by us one day. Time out for that.
Dr. Crutcher, it's clear, and what I know that you have said previously.
Will, and so we have to keep making them hear us. We have to keep making them hear us. We have to keep making them hear us. Those who believe in freedom cannot rest.
And you have said, I've certainly read and followed your activity and work for some years now, and you suggest, you do more than suggest, you say that the same culture that burned down Black Wall Street and killed innocent people and ran your grandmother from her home is the same culture, the same police, the same that killed your brother Terrence. So in the broader context now, additionally, of Mr. Trump coming to Tulsa, coming in the midst of a pandemic to a community that further puts it in jeopardy, and of course there are the issues of the pandemic inordinately and disparately affecting Black and brown people in this society. I mean, is this a moment then that, how do you view this? How do you absorb all this, and how do you first tackle what is to be done, given the fact that the law of the land, if you will, is kind of in your face in the midst of all of this plaintive cries from the ancestors, the immediate pain of you personally?
Yeah, it's a lot to absorb. It really, really is. And so as I close, you know, Donald Trump just coming to Tulsa is definitely a lot to absorb. He's truly added fuel to the fire. We've had a tumultuous week here, a tumultuous 2 weeks, you know, after protesting and shutting down highways in the midst of George Floyd and the videos that were released of two juveniles charged with jaywalking in their own neighborhood with no sidewalks, pinned to the ground, kicked, strip searched, little boys screaming for their mom, the mayor stating that Terrence was responsible for his own death because of his drug use, and then a police officer saying that they ought to be shooting more Black people. Tulsa is out of order. However, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, to put the health and the lives of his citizens at risk, it's just who he is. I don't expect anything less. He only cares about himself. He doesn't care about black people like he says he does, because if he did, before he got here, he would have signed executive orders that would protect, you know, black people. He would reinstate civil rights protections for black people. He would actually pay reparations for slavery if he truly cared about black people. I mean, this isn't something that I made up. This is something that we've seen time and time again. He doesn't need to be in Oklahoma because this is one of the reddest states in the union. He wins every county. Why are you here campaigning? Go somewhere else. Go to California. So that should tell you something. And so, you know, those people who work those venues are elderly. They're African American. They're the most vulnerable population, but they need their jobs. And so we have so many issues that we're dealing with, and so we don't want him here. We're not honored to have him. And so what we decided to do is what we were going to do anyway, is commemorate Juneteenth and channel our anger, our fear, our anxiety into an event where we can actually demand, you know, freedom. Because in reality, we're still not free. We understand what Juneteenth represents, but we're still fighting for freedom. We're still fighting for our black men to be released from prison for nonviolence. That saw where all of these folks got out because of the pandemic. But our black brothers and sisters are sitting up in there beckoning humanity. We're still fighting to just walk, run, jog, eat ice cream. And so in closing, we can't rest. We won't rest. I made a promise to the world. And so we're going to stay true to that. And Terrence's last words to me were, God is going to get the glory out of my life. And I'm going to fight like hell to fulfill that prophecy. So I thank you so much for having me.
Well, I must get one more thing from you, because you have raised a challenge for us who are listening to this to work with you, to support the foundation. So tell us, Dr. Crusher, what we can do who are listening. We also believe that we cannot rest until your freedom is accomplished as you so determine it to be. What is it that we can do to support your efforts and our sisters and brothers in Tulsa?
Absolutely. Well, there's as we rally on, to would like for you to go to the Black Wall Street Times, where they'll be live streaming. We're going to have a lot of action steps and things you can do, but you can also go to the TerrenceCrutcherFoundation.org. Learn more about us, make a donation, because this fight for freedom isn't free. You know, we're on the front lines every single day, and so that's what you can do. Just learn about it. Get involved. You know, figure out how we can get in touch with you and how you can get in touch with us, and get you involved. Volunteer. And so TerrenceCrutcherFoundation.com, that's T-E-R-E-N-C-E, Crutcher.org. And just, you know, send us an email. Let us know that you support us. Send us some love. Send us some energy. But, Mimi, I appreciate you so much, and thank you for allowing me to share my story and share it my way.
Oh, no, thank you.
On the platform.
It's uplifting. It's inspiring. It's daunting. The extent of change which needs to be made to challenge white supremacy is truly daunting. But with the leadership of people such as yourself, Dr. Tiffany Crusher, we are there. Call on us. We must be there. And we thank you so much for your energy, for the fact that you keep on keeping on. And you are the one who represents the promise of democracy, nothing short of that, and your fight for reparative justice, reparations, it must be for all of us of goodwill to take up. I do thank you again, truly.
Absolutely. Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Stay safe. Stay strong. And we've been speaking with Dr. Tiffany Crusher, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.